Hello, and welcome to Freshwater. You're listening to a message from our pastor, Dr. Jeff Gibbon, given in one of our weekly services. You can check out our website, www.freshwaterchurch.net, for more information on our weekly services, home groups, online giving, and a whole lot more. Now, here's Pastor Jeff.
That was a great movie. Well, today we're going to begin kind of with a thought of falling back into old roles. And what does that look like? What does, falling back into old roles look like? Now, there's kind of the classic dad who's a little bit inept with kids, you know, and so forth. And I don't think I fall into the classic dad role so much. You know, I did diapers and so forth and all that stuff. But, and I love holding babies, but one of the things that maybe was a little classic was that I loved throwing babies, too. That was fun. And in fact, I have a little, academic footnote on this, is that scientists have shown that dads throwing kids around actually helps inner ear development. Kids with poor balance tend to not have dads that throw them around. So it worked. But and I remember one time... Elijah was a little baby, and I did throw the baby. So we spin him around a few times, and then I toss him onto the couch that was further away than Michelle would have liked. And as soon as Matthew saw that, who was a little tyke at the time, he said, "Me too, me too." And so I did, toss him around and throw him. And at the time, Zach was 14, and he looked and he goes, "Can you do me?" And I said, "Sure, why not?" And so I picked him up and I tossed him around, and then I threw him on the couch. And my days of that are numbered. I mean, Zach's 21 now, and he doesn't do that as often as he wanted to. Well, there's these types of dads, and one of the things that we can do is we can fall back into old roles, and that makes sense. We're in a series called Genuine. Next week, we're going to look at genuine sonship as we're going through the book of Galatians. And this week, we're going to look at genuine spirit found in Galatians chapter 3. If you have your Bibles, turn with me to Galatians chapter 3 as we look at this chapter. And we look at something really important about roles, methods, and our goals. So we begin just verses 1 through 5, and I'll skip down to hit 10. So Galatians chapter 3, starting at verse 1. "You foolish Galatians, who has bewitched you? Before your very eyes, Christ was clearly portrayed as crucified. I would like to learn just one thing from you. Did you receive the Spirit by observing the law or believing what you heard? Are you so foolish after beginning with the Spirit? Are you now trying to attain your goal through human effort? Have you suffered so much for nothing, if it really was for nothing? Does God give you His Spirit and work miracles among you because you observed the law or because you believed what you heard?" And skipping down to verse 10. "All who rely on observing the law are under a curse. For it is written, 'Cursed is everyone who does not continue to do everything written in the book of the law.'" All right, well, there's a whole bunch in there, and we begin with this idea of breaking through the Spirit of God. The goal is how do we have an encounter with the Spirit of God? And what the Galatians are doing, the Galatians have been switched, so to speak, is that they were Jews, and then they found out the Messiah had come, they accepted the Messiah, and the Spirit of God came. And then, later, some other people came and convinced them that they need to do all the Jewish stuff. Well, what Paul is saying is that if your goal is the Spirit, doing all the works is not getting you there. It's not, doing the good stuff is not getting you to the Spirit. Faith is. Now, there's a couple great, cool things going on in Greek there. Your translation might do a little better than my NIV that I have here. One, every time it said observing the law, that seems a little bit innocuous to me, right? You're observing, it's casual observance, Sunday type of thing, I don't know. But really, Paul uses a Greek word called ergon, or a Greek word ergon here, that is means work. And he's really putting this idea of effort, sweat of your brow, you know, the hard stuff. It is doing the works of the law. It is requiring significant effort. So every time it says observing the law in my translation, I think it's missing just a little caveat there. Because yes, you are observing the law, but he is really emphasizing that this is taking all your effort. It's really hard work to do this part. And then this idea of belief. I'm on a personal campaign here to change this translation. I don't know how far I'll get. But anyway, the idea, the Greek word here is pistis. By the way, ergon is where we get the word ergonomics from work. Pistis is where we get the word pistis. I don't know. There's not the word that comes out of that. But the Greek word pistis is faith. And it's translated faith or believe. But the problem with that is that our language is changing. And today, when you say, well, I believe, it really means your opinion, right? Well, I got an opinion. Or if you say I have faith, it's like, I have faith, I'll win the lottery. It's a wish, right? So faith and belief have turned to opinion and wish. And what is going on with this word is a little different. It's talking about trusting. Trusting so much to receive Jesus as your Lord and Savior in your innermost being, the very core of who you are, receiving him. And so he's laying out these two paths. There's the hard work of the law, and then there is the trusting, believing, receiving faith of Jesus Christ. And he's saying, which one gets us to our goal? Which one? Well, he talks about encountering the Spirit, and I want to back up just a minute and talk about three types of encounters that we see in the New Testament with the Spirit of God. We encounter the Spirit of God through Jesus Christ. The first type of encounter I call the fellowship encounter, and I'm going to do a verse. This is an odd verse to have as one of my, you know, top 100 verses, top 50 verses, but it is, and I'll show you. It's 2 Corinthians 13:14. It says Paul is just signing off. He's just signing off at the very end of the letter, and he says, "May the grace of the Lord Jesus Christ and the love of God and the fellowship of the Holy Spirit be with you all." One of the things I like about that Spirit is it's very Trinitarian. Right? Every member of the Trinity is to be with you continually. It's in a continual sense. And so every member of the Trinity is there, but it's telling us one of the big roles of the Holy Spirit is fellowship. The type one encounter here is an encounter with the Spirit, with fellowship. That the Spirit is available to be with us all day, every day. And, you know, in all honesty, that doesn't happen in my life, right? We get busy with stuff. We get worried with junk. We got this. We got that. And I didn't have my fellowship encounter, right? That happens. But he's available through Jesus Christ to have an encounter, to walk through life with the Spirit of God. That's a fellowship encounter. Type two encounter is guidance. And here's an extreme example. We're going to come back to this, actually. But it's an extreme example because it shows our point. But the Spirit guides us. He directs us. And here in Acts chapter 16, 9 and 10, Paul has this encounter again. So Paul talked about the first one. Paul talked about the second one. Paul's going to talk about the third one. But in Acts 16, 9 and 10, it says, "During the night, Paul had a vision of a man of Macedonia standing, begging him, 'Come over to Macedonia and help us.' After Paul had seen the vision, we got ready at once to leave for Macedonia, concluding that God had called us to preach the gospel to them." All right. So Paul has a vision. He is actually on a missions trip. He's going from city to city telling people about Jesus. And just before this is kind of cool. The Spirit keeps him going from one place. And so he goes, okay, I'm going to go this way. And he goes to Troas. And there's a little key in this text, a little side key, is that the book written by Luke changes at Troas. Before Troas, it is they and them did that. And right there in the verse we read, it changes to we and us did this. You know what happened? He picked up Luke. He met Luke. First time we see that is at Troas. The Spirit guided him to Troas. He meets Luke. Luke, who writes the book of Acts, the book of Luke, and is his ministry associate, right there at Troas. And then he goes to Macedonia, a portion of Greece, and changes the world. See, one of the encounters that we have with the Spirit of God is direction. Which way should we go for the most impact for the kingdom? That is an encounter with the Spirit of God. And then the third type of encounter is an empowerment encounter. Ability beyond our own for a need of the moment. And Paul talks about this in 1 Corinthians 12. I'm not going to go through it this time and other places. But he talks about this encounter with the Spirit empowering us for a task, for a need at the moment. A true Spirit encounter is not available any other way. And that's really one of this main text point here, is that how are you going to get to the Spirit except through pistis, through faith, through trusting Jesus enough to bring Him in to your innermost being and to guide your life. This encounter with the Spirit comes only this way. He says it doesn't come through the observance of the law. It comes through pistis, faith, this kind of faith. John 14:17, Jesus is speaking, and he talks about the Spirit, and he says, the Spirit of truth. The world cannot accept him because it neither sees him nor knows him. But you know him, for he lives with you and will be in you. Oh, ho, ho. So more of this idea that there's no other way to attain this encounter with the Spirit, it's by faith in Jesus Christ, this kind of pistis faith. And that is the world doesn't know him, doesn't encounter him. The world is out. And right now, before the cross, the Spirit is with us. But later, because of the cross, the Spirit can be in us. And by the way, I won't take the time to develop this, but I think that since the cross, the idea of with is past. There's a nearness now through Jesus Christ that the Spirit can be in us. So Paul is setting up this idea of having a genuine encounter with the Spirit, and there's only one way. Observance of the law, doing the good, being the good, good person doesn't get us there. Being good is good, but it doesn't get us to our goal. Our goal is an encounter with the Spirit, and that comes by faith. Being good is good, but it doesn't get us to our goal. So, this is where we kind of dial back and say, okay, I hate to do this, but it's time to play the reality game. I'm a little bit allergic to reality anyway, but let's step back and just look at reality here. The reality is I do this sometimes. This is what I call our unfortunate fallback position. Our unfortunate fallback. You know, growing up, my family attended a liberal liturgical church. And to be honest, I only remember one sermon my entire life there. Now I remember it because it's hilarious. But at the time, I actually listened to this one sermon. I didn't listen to anything else the entire time, ever. But I actually listened to this one message, and this one message was all based on give a cup of cold water in Jesus' name. And the idea was of the message was, you will get rewarded in heaven for giving a cup of cold water in Jesus' name. By the way, I think that missed the mark. At least what I heard. That's what I heard as a kid. I may have missed some things, but that's the part I heard as a kid. So I was like, okay, I got church ended. We got in the car, and I'm in the drive home. I was praying, Lord, please don't let this car wreck on the way home. Don't let the car wreck on the way home. Don't let the car wreck on the way home. And then we get to the driveway, and I'm out the door. I'm into the bathroom. I grab a Dixie cup, and I fill it up with cold water. And I walk up to my little sister, and I said, here, drink this. And she goes, well, why? Drink it. I'm not thirsty. Drink it. And I made her drink the water, and I was like, I'm going to heaven. I'm in. I had this I'm in type of thing because I did it. Cup of cold water in Jesus' name. In. I'm in. But you know, that's our unfortunate fallback. That's exactly, by the way, what Paul was saying. that if we're earning our way, we're missing it. And that's our unfortunate. In real life, when the going gets tough, I don't think the tough get going all the time. I think all sorts of things happen. One of the things that happens is paralysis, right? Going gets tough, bad things happen, and paralysis happens. You know, I just shut down. I don't see a problem. I don't know a problem. I just shut down. No problems here. And we have paralysis, and we ignore the problem, and a lot of times it gets worse at that point. Another thing that happens is lifestyle rebellion. You know, if this is the way it's going to be, then I'm just going to toss that aside, and I'm going to go have fun. I'm going to live for the moment. I'm going to have pleasure. I'm just going to go and do it. I'm going to take my chances. A little side note, last couple of days, Zach and I have been looking at some real geeky numbers, and the idea of chances has just really caught my attention. And we're looking at the universe forming at the first moments of creation, the Big Bang, and there's a state called the early entropy state. And the odds, if this is such a precise set of events, constant, so to speak, that if it was slightly this way, the universe would be one big black hole. If the number was slightly this way, the universe would be one big ball of molten fire and brimstone. It would just be boom. But just because it was so precise, we have the universe we have. A professor at Oxford calculated the odds of this, and the odds are 10 to the 10 to the 123. Now, that is a huge number. That's a 10 to the power of 10 to the power of 123. That number has more zeros in it than there are subatomic particles in the universe. That's how, and just think of this chances. In fact, we got out the calculators, Zach got out the calculators. He's been having fun with it too. But we got out the calculators, or he got them out, and calculated that if you took all the subatomic particles of the universe, not the molecules, not the planets, not the galaxies, not the planets, not the molecules, not the atoms, not the protons and neutrons and electrons, but the subatomic particles, both, take all of them in the universe and change them into dice. So you did that, change into dice. And then you take 13.77 billion years that they say that the universe is old, you move all those seconds, and you throw all those dice every second from the beginning of the universe. And just to make things a little more interesting, they're not six-sided dice. They're 10,000-sided dice. The odds of all the dice, every roll, coming up 3,337 is infinitely greater, or I shouldn't say infinitely, that's not precise, significantly greater than this event happening. So if someone has faith in chance, it's just beyond the pale. Lack of evidence, crazy, super wacko. This is a divine moment. Only God could have this level of odds come through. There's a creator. And so anyway, coming back to, you can take your chance for chances and live a life for pleasure. Or you can paralysis. That's another one we talked about. Another fallback position is to tip the scales. You know, I need to get on the good side of God. And I need a good karma type moment. You know, what goes around comes around. And I need to, you know, where's a burning building with a kitten to save? That's what I need right now to tip the scales in my favor so, you know, God and the cosmic universe will start working my way. That's what's going on here. And in reality, in those tough moments, sometimes we do that. You know, paralysis, rebellion, tip the scales. Or can we trust the Creator and invite Him in to take the very core of our being, the deepest part of who we are, and lead our life? Galatians is a turning point book. It's a turning point in the Bible. It's a point where really this is the point where Jesus is for everyone. And today we go, well, of course, Jesus is available for everyone. But at this point, that wasn't true. Jesus was for the Jews. And this is the point that it opened up. It's a turning point. Galatians is a turning point in history. The Reformation, all Protestant churches find their birth in a fresh look at the book of Galatians. And it's a turning point in our life as well, in everyday, ordinary life. When the rough and tumble of real life hits hard, we can fall back into old patterns, and you know what? In honesty, that happens. Or we can say, you know what? This is a moment to draw near to Jesus. That's the point of this text. To have an encounter with the Spirit because of Jesus Christ. To draw near to God. Faith, trust, Spirit. That's what this moment is about. So, how do we do this? So, how do we find our man of Macedonia? How do we have this turning point encounter with the Spirit? I said we'd come back to this. Paul has this vision of man of Macedonia, and it changes the course of his life. And that's what happens. You know, that happens, and a lot of times we can point to natural events that happens. A natural event in my life was Mrs. Wheatonen. I went to look for a picture. There were some pictures of her, but I couldn't find them. Mrs. Wheatonen was my high school chemistry teacher, and we were her first class. And you know what we did? We knew we were her first class ever, right out of college. You know what we did? We made her cry the first day. Oh, man, I feel bad. At the time, we were like, yes. And then it was like, no. So we had to cry the first day, and it was a little better after that. We kind of knew the threshold point, but we kept her real close to that threshold point for a while. And she was our high school chemistry teacher. And you know what? I kind of like chemistry. I majored in chemistry in college, and one of my majors. And she changed my life. She took me on a field trip, and other students, of course, took our class to Gustavus Adolphus College. For their Nobel conference, I was focusing on chemistry. And because of her influence in that, I chose Gustavus as my college. And I chose chemistry as my major because of her. And at Gustavus, I met Christ and I met Michelle. Two very significant things, right? And really, she changed the course of my life. And yet, that is nothing compared to what the Spirit of God can do as we encounter Him. He changes the course of our life. In all sorts of ways, God steps in. In Acts 16, Paul has a vision. It changed his life. Immediately before this verse, we talked about that, Paul meets Luke because the Spirit had guided him to Troas. And now he's guiding Paul to Greece, a portion of Greece called Macedonia. And he's taking Luke with him. And it changes the course of his life, but also the course of Christianity. And throughout the Bible, visions and dreams and callings and more, God steps into our lives and changes that course. God does that. He changes lives. And a lot of times we talk about that God changes our heart. He changes our heart, love and joy and peace and freedom and purpose. But He also changes the course of our lives. Little ways and big ways. I think we need that in 2013, right here today. It's often not the easier way. It may not be the most profitable way, but it's always the most impactful way. And so, we seek God. Your man of Macedonia moment that changes everything. It's not found in tipping the scales. It's not found in, obviously, paralysis. It's not found in rebellion or trusting the chances. But it's found in trusting Jesus. Trusting Him with your innermost being, the throne of your heart. Now, before I forget, we're on Chili Fest today. You're all invited to my house, and we have food. And so if you please come, all we need is your smiles. And also, in your bulletin, there's information on Code Orange. We're doing that on 3-9 at 9. And we'll be giving away something somewhere, actually, in this neighborhood. And I want to just announce that before I forget. Now, back to our regularly scheduled program. So how do we put this to work? How do we put this to work? Life integration. Trusting Jesus in tough times. And you know what? First thing I want to do is just say, it's easy to say, and I have been there. There are times that are so tough that we want to fall back into old rules, and we do. But there's a better way to meet our goal, and that's found in Jesus. Trusting Jesus in tough times. One, first thing, look at your problem objectively. We have a problem, we focus entirely on the problem. Look at a problem objectively. Because, you know, if you have a three-day problem, you don't have a problem. You have an adventure, right? Right? And sometimes we get, and it's a three-day problem. It's an adventure. It's a new story. You're going to have a new story. Isn't that great? And so that's one. Two, refocus. Bad things focus us so much on the bad thing that every now and again we just need to step back and look at all the great things. You know, there are some great things going on. I have two friends. I've told some of you about this. He's somebody I went to school with, or kind of sort of with, but he was a pastor, and both he and his wife have stage 4 cancer, and they've been trading times in the hospital right this last month. And I hear them talk about all the things that God's doing in their lives and how thankful, and I'm going, first off, wow. I don't think I could be in their great state of faith and happiness and joy at their point. But two, I go, they're doing it. They're living it for me. They're showing me how this works. And I love it. I love them for it. Refocus. There's the problem. So no question, can't close our eyes to the problem, but look at the other stuff. And then third, practically, just take problem vacations. You know, if you're in the midst of the problem, there's a time when you have to say, I'm taking the afternoon off from the problem. I'm going to take the problem, I'm going to put it over here, and I'm going to take a little vacation, let the stress come off. I'm going to take the day off from the problem and just let the stress come off. Fresh eyes tomorrow. Fresh eyes tomorrow. That really can affect what we're going through. Third, look for the impact. Remember I said that Jesus will lead us to a place that's often not the easiest place. And a lot of times it's not the most profitable place, but it is the most impactful place. That's the key. And so look for the impact. Where can I make an impact for Jesus? And then fifth, go and do. Paul's Man of Macedonia experience was really cool. I would love to have this kind of vision, to be honest. This would be epic, you know. Has a vision, Man of Macedonia stands, come help us. The next thing that happens, the next thing, we got up and went. Go do. An encounter with the Spirit of God leads us to go do. And so, trusting Jesus in tough times leads us to this impact. So we have old roles, things that we fall back into, and it happens. It just does. Being a classic dad is not a bad thing, but being a classic tip the cosmic scales in my favor just doesn't get us to our goal. It's not getting us to where we need to go. We need an encounter with the Spirit, and it begins with pistis. With faith and trust that invites him in. Good is good, but it doesn't get us to our goal. Receiving Jesus does in that moment. Give him your depths. Give him your heights for impact. Heavenly Father, we thank you for the scripture, and we thank you for this amazing, promise that we can have an encounter with you. Lord, we're hungry for that encounter. We want more of you in our lives. whether we're facing no real, just a, maybe a small adventure, or maybe this is the epic battle of our lives, we need an encounter with you for fellowship, for guidance, and for empowerment. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Thank you for listening. Freshwater Church meets in Gilbert, Arizona. Please check out our website for more information, freshwaterchurch.net. You may also email us at office@freshwaterchurch.net. If you have some tough questions about the Bible, God, or the church, feel free to email us at questions@freshwaterchurch.net. God bless, and we hope to see you soon.